One time I went for a commercial reading in Los Angeles, and I was coming out of the building where I had done the reading, and a guy said to me, "How would you like to see Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Sammy Davis Jr.?" I said, "Of course, I'd love to see them." I mean, I was a little flabbergasted that a total stranger would say this to me on the street. He said, "Well, man, let me tell you something. They're right around the corner, and if you get over there, you can see them." Well, I didn't know what he was talking about, but I said, "I better take a look." Lo and behold, as I walked around the corner, right in front of Chasen's restaurant, there is Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Sammy Davis Jr., and a crowd of people. And they're all moving into the restaurant, and it's all just jam-packed. So I thought I might look through one of the windows, so I sort of walked over around to where the parking lot was, and there's an entrance there. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, guess who comes out that side door? Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Sammy Davis Jr. And they're all dressed in tuxes, and they all walked outside to smoke. They all started smoking. I just sort of waved to them, and they waved to me back. And suddenly, all around me, there was this throng of people. They were there to announce their big concert where the three of them would be playing across the United States. This was their big press conference. I thought this was all pretty funny because they started asking them questions. Sinatra seemed very irritated by everybody. Martin was just like Martin, and Sammy Davis Jr. was doing most of the talking. And I remember a big laugh came when one of the reporters asked, "Do you think you'll draw as many people as Michael Jackson?" And Dean Martin said, "Michael Jackson, he's black, isn't he?" I don't know why, but they laughed and so did I. I guess that's a good example of Dean's humor. Incidentally, Dean could hold his own with anybody. That's why he was a big star for so long. You know, when him and Jerry Lewis were working together, people forgot that Dean actually was a very, very funny man himself. Something that people know about Dean Martin is that he was afraid of elevators, and I found this to be true. At the MGM Grand, where Dean worked, and then later Bally's, all the stars' dressing rooms are on the second floor. And of course, you have to take an elevator to get there. Dean's dressing room was in the basement, actually, down some little steps. It was a storage room they had cleared out and made into his permanent dressing room because he was there for about 15 years. I went down to see that dressing room one time for a very unique reason. I was told by a fellow that was working there that when Jerry Lewis was working with Sammy Davis Jr. in a series of shows at Bally's, that Dean Martin would write little messages to Jerry on his mirrors, and Jerry Lewis would answer those messages. And to check it out, I went with this guy one time down to Dean's dressing room, the storage room, which was really very, very small. And sure enough, there was messages from each other back and forth, blah, 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 blah. Later, I found out that Jerry Lewis tried to buy those mirrors after Dean's death. However, someone had taken the mirrors, and maybe they're holding them for the Smithsonian. I don't know. I had an opportunity to see Dean perform, and I was sorry I did so. I think the comedian Stan Laurel had something when he said, "You shouldn't appear when you get real old." Stan Laurel of Laurel and Hardy was approached many, many times in his later years to do motion pictures and television, and he always say, I don't want to do it. I would disappoint people the way I look. I'm old, and people aren't expecting to see me like this. And I think he had something there. I went to see Dean Martin, and Dean came out. He looked great from a distance. He looked like that handsome, big physique guy and everything. But, oh, as he started, he could barely remember anything. He could barely sing. He was distracted on the stage. He was wandering around. And it actually was very, very painful. I actually had to get up and leave because I didn't want to remember Dean like that. I wanted to remember him as that incredible, bright talent that we all love so much. One time I was on the freeway driving in Los Angeles on the 405 freeway. I'll never forget this as long as I live. It's rush hour, and I'm behind some guy, and he just won't move. Like, the traffic on either side of us is moving, and this guy won't move. And I started thinking, what kind of jerk is this? And I remember his license plate said Mr. DM. When I finally had a chance to jump ahead of the guy, which I couldn't wait to do because I was so angry, and I looked over, I hit the brakes. I said, "Oh, my God, it's Dean Martin." And he was actually hung over the steering wheel. He could barely drive the car. He was like going so slow. I just kept staring, and I guess he's used to that. He waved to me. I waved to him. However, the story I'm going to confirm was that Dean Martin was arrested for drunk driving just around that time. And I thought, well, no wonder. I mean, the guy looked like he was driving drunk to me, and I'm not even a cop. They pulled Dean over, and the reason the guy arrested him was Dean was a little sassy with him. The guy said, "Where are you going, Mr. Martin?" He said, "I'm going to deliver a pizza to Bing and Frank." Apparently, the cop took some umbrage to that and then found a pistol lying on the floor of Dean's car. I mean, what are you going to do? The guy's drunk. He's got a pistol. I'm delivering a pizza to Bing and Frank. There was no pizza in the car. Bing was dead. This man was drunk. Let's face the facts. I would like to also take this opportunity to confirm something else about Mr. Dean Martin. Those who are into the show business and the legends and the myths of show business may find it interesting to know that this is true. Dean was very famous for the way he would rehearse his television program. Dean hated to rehearse. He wanted spontaneity. He always wanted spontaneity. And working with producer Greg Garrison, who created his great television show that ran for 10 years, was that he would lay out the entire show and have a stand-in do Dean's part. Dean would come in the day of the show and in the dressing room watch a videotape of the rehearsal. Of course, this drove Dean's guest stars crazy because they weren't rehearsing with Dean. It drove some of the other actors crazy because you want to get the rhythm of the guy you're working with. And my friend Charlie Hill, if you get a chance to see him, very funny man, he appeared on the Dean Martin show one time and I asked him about this. And he said, yes, it was the strangest experience he ever had. He said, we did a full two-day rehearsal and some guy is just supposed to be Dean Martin. And he says, on the day that you work, boom, there's Dean Martin. And he said he was as nice to everybody as could be. He said, but he thought it threw the show off a little bit because, of course, you're just starting to work with the guy and you're sort of in awe of the fact that, ah, this is Dean Martin. Naturally, if you rehearsed a day and a half with him, you would warm up to the guy and the experience of being around a big star would lessen itself and you could get down to the business of working. And I think that perhaps this is what really worked for Dean Martin. Dean always realized it was just a television show. It was just entertainment.